For the hymn? don't know if you want like the, so for solid rock, you want us to start from the chorus?
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking, all other ground is sinking.
Children who are still at home, we're all grown up. Moms who've outlived a son or daughter, or moms of babies they never got to hold. Moms who've raised kids all on their own, or became a mom to someone who needed one. Moms of children who have wandered from God, or the longing to be moms who are still waiting. God perfectly arranged each of you to the role you have today. His word recognizes you as capable, strong, and praiseworthy. Everything you do makes our lives more beautiful. Happy Mother's Day.
On Christ the Son.
You are. want to just mention some of the requests that are important in our prayer life. I spoke with Gary and Baldwin again this morning, and it's a difficult day in the recovery from the chemo. She'll be going for one more chemo treatment and then starting radiation. And hopefully this is all preventative. That's the prayer. But just continue to lift them up in prayer if you would. And then we're thankful for our graduates, and you'll see the list. We've had two more that I failed to mention last Sunday. Logan Wilson is graduating from the University of West Virginia, and Cassie Claiborne, i.e., is graduating from West Virginia Medical School and be a doctor and is serving in rural communities in West Virginia. And those are two more to our list, and that's exciting. I think there's cards going around that you'll want to sign and be a part of, and extending the love of the church, extending our arms around people that are being a blessing. And you'll want to catch up on that. As we go to prayer, I want us to also pray for our country. We need to pray for the values and the morality that we believe in. We need to speak out and stand up and have our voices heard. We want to put God back in the center and to keep God in the center. And so we, as Christians, have that responsibility and that privilege of lifting it up. And so as we go to prayer, let's just open our hearts with this beautiful song, The Wonderful Cross, as we approach God.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of my riches gain, I count but lost, and more content on all my pride. See from his head. Draw near and bless your name.
Let's pray together. Father, we draw near to the cross and find in it the great mystery of life, new life, born from death that was so undeserved, a death given for us that we might have life. We rejoice in the resurrection, and we rejoice in the living Christ who's in our midst. Christ with us through the week and through the trials and through the difficulties and through the successes and the blessings and the victories. Thank you for the love of Christ poured out for us, who emptied himself that we might be filled with his presence. We thank you today that we can know you, we can enter in fully into all that it means to walk with you, to remain in you, to abide in you, as the word says. Father, I just pray that as we are in worship, that each one of us would be challenged in our hearts to keep that commitment, that closeness, that relationship. We bring to you all of our life and all that it holds, and we place it before you. We realize, oh God, how much we need you, how much we need your power, we need your strength. We pray for wisdom. We pray for the Spirit of Christ to guide us. We thank you today for mothers who've given their lives for their children, for their families in so many ways, living day after day in a sacrificial way to provide, to encourage and to guide their families. Thank you for grandmothers. And Lord, we place in your hands the unanswered prayers, perhaps prayers for children that have missed the way spiritually, perhaps children that are lost today. We pray for mothers that grieve children, and we pray for that healing grace of Christ that can do what nothing else can do in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you today, Father, that you care for your children and watch over them. And as we gather for worship here, we thank you for the freedom to worship and for the ways in which we can enter in with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength to know your power and your presence, to give to you the tithes and the offerings that are yours, to serve you with our talents and with our abilities, to be engaged as witnesses in our communities and with our friends who don't know the Lord. Father, I pray that you would remind each one of us of our friends who need you as Savior still. You would remind us to go to them and to talk to them and to open the door for that spiritual conversation of faith and to trust in Christ, that we would see a harvest. Lord, today as we look to your word, we want you to speak to our hearts. We want to hear what you have to say, that we might put it into practice and live for you. Thank you again for all you do. We give you praise and honor and glory for the ways in which you bless our lives beyond our description and even our wildest imagination. Refreshed and we're renewed when we're with you and when we're with God's people, and we thank you for that and praise you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, you're going to receive the tithes and offerings, and I know you come planning to give. Thank you. special recognitions today for every lady in the congregation.
Every daughter is here.
Stand right there where they can hear you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Every daughter that's here gets a flower as well as a bag. And in the bag are a couple things.
Yeah. I'm playing Vanna White today.
And I hope you enjoy them because I happen to like them a lot. I love geraniums. And they're pretty hardy, just like me. And they get, yes, you get two things in there. And if you have any questions about, one is a book, the other one is another item. And if you have any questions about it, it's got a unique special thing to it, special action, extra thing.
What has a special action?
Oh, the extra thing is in the bag.
The extra that's in the bag, so they got to take it out to discover it's a surprise. I use baby wash and shampoo every day. Thank you for bringing this to church for me. Do you want to explain why you're here?
Yeah,
let's do that. You do that.
Every year for the last, how long, at least 20 years, we have supported the Rockville, used to be called Pregnancy Center, now it's the Rockville Women's Center. And this is our direct link for women, for families, for babies, to keep them from being destroyed, or killed, really, aborted. And this, they are a Christian ministry, they help women, no matter what age, no matter what income, doesn't matter. If they feel as though they need direction in what to do with maybe an unexpected pregnancy, they help them make a decision to keep them, keep the babies, keep life, whether they keep them or they adopt them out. Steffi Benjamin is executive director of the Women's Center, and she's phenomenal. And we'll talk a little bit more about her. Are we going to show the video? Mm-hmm. Oh, and this is our way in which you can help us. We bookend Mother's Day to Father's Day, where we give you this. You don't have to be a mother to take one. You can be anybody, man, person, or child even, to take one and take one and fill it.
I'm a man person.
You know
who
you are. And this is help support their ministry, and it's a vivid reminder of our connection to the community to save families, to save women, to save children. So they're in the back. So when you pick up your gift, your flower, your gift, go ahead and get a baby bottle. And last year, yes, Dan's holding one in his hand. Great. And so we've had women, actually families, bring back two and three of them. When they get full, they just bring back, they get another one. And I say, yay, do that some more. Mm-hmm. So don't feel limited by one. If you need another or whatever, we have plenty. Now, this is something I would like for us to do, in addition to picking up and putting this change, is to bring in some baby items for the baby boutique. That's what, again, they give items to new mothers to help them, support them in the arrival of the new child. So, again, I brought some diapers in, we have baby wash, and you as mother know, in that purple container,
Dan's a big help.
Dan's a great visual aid back there. So just plan again between Mother's Day today and Father's Day to bring in any items, just whatever you happen to see, bring it in, it will all be used. So again, thank you in advance for contributing to this. Because we will hopefully remind you on a monthly basis. Or
at least.
That we'll be doing that. All right, is there anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
The reason I use baby shampoo every day is my eye doctor told me it's good for cleaning my eyes with.
Okay.
Since I wear contacts. So I do use baby, not that bottle, but I have my own baby shampoo.
I'm not sure why you need to say that.
Well, because I said I already announced that I use it every day. That's fine.
We
have
humor in our
little, all very right, little.
So are we going to get serious?
You're going to read scripture now.
Can you please stand and do reverence? Tell them where it is. All right, I'm reading from John 15, verses 5 through 15. Do you want to try and find it? If you do, let me know. Okay. John 15, verses 5 through 15. All right, I'll begin reading. I'm the vine, and I'm reading from, the New International Revised Version, so it doesn't quite sound like NIV. It's a little bit different, but anyway. The revised version. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain joined to me and I to you, you will bear a lot of fruit. You can't do anything without me. If you don't remain joined to me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and dries up. Branches like that are picked up. They are thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain joined to me and my words remain in you, ask for anything you wish. When you bear a lot of fruit, it brings glory to my Father. It shows that you are my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you remain in my love. In the same way, I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you will have the same joy that I have. I also want your joy to be complete. Here is my command. Love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than the one who gives their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you slaves anymore. Slaves do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I have told you everything I have learned from my Father. Thank you. You may be seated. And one more little announcement.
Okay.
Is that we do have a Zoom Mother's Day program. I know. Today at 4 o'clock. Did you all receive the email about it? If you have not received the email, let us know so we can make sure you are sent the link. But this afternoon, we're going to be talking about how women, daughters, are strong and courageous. That's the theme for this afternoon. My goal for this time is for you to be inspired, informed, educated, and have a little bit of entertainment. So I think that that will be a good time together. We are showcasing someone that we all know.
We have a brave and courageous young woman that everybody's going to get to know a little better this afternoon, as well as all the wonderful things you're planning.
Yes.
I did send out a link, the Zoom link, and email. If you did not get it, be sure to let me or Marcia know. We can do that this afternoon, so plenty of time for you to get on, okay? Plan on that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Great.
It's always amazing how well it goes on Zoom. I'm so thankful.
Yeah, but we have to
pray a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
pray between now and this afternoon at 4.
Yeah, that goes well. But
All right. Thank you. Good deal. Well, it's great to be with you this morning and to bring God's Word and for us to enjoy together His presence and just celebrate mothers. And we do thank God for the way in which God puts us into families and works relationships with us for His honor and glory. Let's watch together the video of the pregnancy center. This is one you have to read because they don't speak and they don't narrate, but it's really a good insight into what goes on. I was shocked by a lot of the statistics in this, and you might be as well. Thank you. Well, we want to be supporting the positive solution of adoption and the care for these young mothers many times in financial difficulties and struggles. And they have, in addition to the services they provide medically, for lack of a better word, a small store. And that's what we're providing these supplies for, so that mothers can be set up and have the basic needs met when they face an unexpected pregnancy. And so we want to be supporters of that ministry in that way with them. Miles, I'm not sure that my remote is working, so you might need to be helping me. Let's go to the one right after Happy Family. So one of the ideas that I've been working on as I prepared for Mother's Day was this thought that, what is the best gift we can give to a mother? What is the best gift that a family can give their mother? I know what my wife thinks the best gift would be this particular Mother's Day. We talked about it this weekend. It's kind of funny. But in your network, what would be the best way to honor a mother? And one of the thoughts that really, as I studied the Word, and to be honest with you, I had four different passages of Scripture I was looking at, a lot of ways of approaching this subject. But one of the thoughts that I really wanted to come down to is that all of us, in God's provision, in God's plan, are placed in families. Well, you say, well, I live alone. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't have extended family. Maybe you don't have a biological family around. But the church is God's plan to give you a family in which you fit. And this is to be a family of love, and it's to be a family that supports you. And when I was 15 years old, I felt that I should not go back with my parents to the mission field, because the high school I would be going to was full of drugs and other kinds of immoral activity, and really just a not a place I felt that I should be. And so I stayed here in the States, and I stayed in a church that learned how to love and reach out to me. Now, I'd be very honest with you and say there were a lot of struggles. It wasn't easy. But none of us has an easy life. None of us gets to coast in life very long. About the time you think you get all the package put together, something changes to make it tougher, doesn't it? You notice that? Because life is hard. Life is not always easy. And so God, as He places us in a family like the nuclear family we might live in, or the church, or an extended family, or a blended family, God intends in that setting for us to know Him and to experience His love, His power, His presence, His grace, and to live in that. And what I want to say is, it's a little bit confrontive this morning, if you'd allow me to be just a little bit challenging to you, because I believe there's a lot we can do to improve the health and the blessing of our homes. And so I want to deal with really more the men than I am the mothers, because the men have such a key role. But also to challenge the church to be the home for those who are, in that sense, homeless, don't have a family. That's a better way. Familyless. That's not a term I've heard before, but we could use that today. And to be planted in. In fact, the Scripture says that God puts in a family those who are without family. And He means by that the extended love of the church. The church needs to give us that kind of care and support when we're on our own. And hopefully we do. And hopefully as we grow together and learn together, we'll get better at including and embracing each other in these areas. It's such a wonderful thing when someone reaches out to us in care and compassion and draws us in to a circle. So today we celebrate, we rejoice for all that's good and right in families. And we just need to take a day when we gather up the precious memories and the stories and the history and the good things and focus on it and celebrate it and be thankful for what we have. One of the things I learned when I was 15 years old, as I was telling you, was that I could sit around and feel sorry for myself. I could sit around and list all the things that didn't go right, all of the things I didn't like in my life. Or I could choose to praise God and trust God and look to Him. And one of the ways for me that worked was I would lie in bed at night and be all upset because the day, you know, didn't go right, or I didn't have what I wanted. Why was God leaving this out? Or what was wrong with this? Or who disappointed me? Or who offended me? Or whatever. And then I realized I could also be praising God instead. And I started to praise God. And I'll be honest with you and tell you about the first few times, it's like only two or three things a night I could think of to praise God for. But, you know, the more I did it, the longer the list got. And when the list got pretty long, I fell asleep. So it worked in a double way, right? And not only that, I'd wake up in a better attitude because I'd wake up thanking God for what I had rather than looking at all the things I didn't have. And so as we look at this passage, the first thing that tells us is that we are to remain in Christ. Remain in Christ. He says it at least twice here. What he means is live in Jesus. Live aware of Jesus. Live aware that he's there at the dining room table. Live aware that he's with you in the bedroom. Live aware that in the living room and as you go about the routines and working in your home, Christ is with you and be aware of his presence. Be aware that through the Holy Spirit, he abides not just around you or not just at church, but in you. If you're born of the Spirit, Christ is in you. And so remain in him. And this is a practice. This is a habit we develop. This is an understanding that grows. This isn't just automatic. We have to take the time for the Word. We have to take the time for prayer. We have to set aside those moments to love God. I think I shared this last week with you or a couple of weeks ago, but Marcia and I try to pray together at least once a day, and normally even twice a day we get to do that. And one of the funny things is we've taught our dog to pray, which means when she tells him pray, he lies down because he knows he's going to get a treat. You know, he's not spiritual in any way, but then we pray. And when we're through praying, he gets another one. So he really likes prayer. A dog that loves to pray. No, he loves treats. And so find the way to move in your daily routine, your daily habits, an awareness of the presence of God with you. Now, what I want to say next is this, and this is where it gets a little bit confrontive. If you are struggling, meaning it's not a happy home, and the truth of the matter is there are no perfect marriages, there are no perfect homes, every home has its struggles. Every home has its areas that don't go well. I was talking to someone who I'm just getting to know, and to be honest with you right now, I don't even remember who it was, but I remember their response when I told them some stories about our family. They were shocked, and they said, well, I just had no idea that you had some struggles in some areas, as we talked about it. All of us do. All of us struggle. You look at some situations and you say, well, how could they possibly struggle? The richest man in the world is going through a divorce right now. So, you know, there are struggles. There aren't perfect homes. None of us have perfect homes. And God uses those struggles, those times of conflict, when we take them to him, to grow us, to change us. But we've got to be willing to change, and we've got to be willing to grow. Last night when I was preaching this message with the Spanish congregation, I said, anytime you are beyond adolescence, meaning when you turn 21, you're responsible for your life. What you do, where you go, how it turns out, is all up to you. And I know what I hear from people. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I didn't have this advantage, or so-and-so did this to me, or I lost this, or I never got that. And I just say, put on your big boy pants. It's a fact of life. We all face struggles. We all face difficulties. We've all been hurt. We've all been offended. I think I could match pretty well the list of people who disappointed me, kicked me in the shins, treated me badly, to the list you have, okay? But I don't focus on them, and I don't let them have the power over me, because in Christ, I am not a victim. I'm a victor. And that's what he calls us to be. It's an attitude, yes, but it's more than an attitude. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us overcoming that which is getting us down, overcoming those difficulties with his grace, by his power in our lives. You can just take a list of the things in your life that you wish were different and take them to God in prayer, and one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to change that person or change you, or he's going to show you how to live with it, how to deal with it, how to grow as you remain in Christ. Fuel your love in Christ. Give that the focus. Give that the energy. Give that the time. I have all kinds of trouble up here, Miles, so I'm not going to stay. It's going to be a little bit more difficult for me to stay with where I'm at in the sermon. Romans, excuse me, in verse 12, love each other as I have loved you. How did Christ love us? And you think about this, and this grips me every time I think about it. A mother in giving birth comes very near to death. And a mother in giving birth risks death. It's about 83 out of 100,000, and that sounds like a small number, but if it's your family or if it's someone you know, it's big. But not only that, that's just the beginning of the sacrifices, right, moms? Yeah, we talked to our daughter this week. That is one exhausted young mother. She said, I think I got a total of 3 hours of sleep last night. Because the little guy goes about 20, 30 minutes and wants to eat again, needs to be changed again, and then he wants to play again. And then, then he goes back to sleep, and she tries to sleep, and it's just not a lot of sleep for right now. That's just the beginning of the race, right, Donna? Those are the early days only. There's other challenges, there's other risks, there's other drains on you through the process as a mother, and a mother lays down her life for those children, for that family, in the way Jesus laid down his life for us. And so if we're going to be loving men, and I'm talking primarily now to the men, if you're going to be loving, it means you've got to lay down your stuff and pick up some of her stuff in order to serve her, in order to love, in order to be the man God calls you to be, in order to have the family God wants you to have. It's the same in the church. If we want to see the church grow and succeed, we can't keep doing what we're doing. We've got to find better ways to do what God calls us to do. Amen. The preaching. Way to go, Pastor. Thank you. So conflicts are inescapable. Conflicts, disagreements, challenges, disruptions, they come into every life. And you have to learn how to manage them. You have to learn that while the conflict is there, it's an opportunity to draw close to Jesus. It's an opportunity to walk in the shadow of the Almighty. It's an opportunity to realize that your feet are planted on the solid rock. We sang that today, and I love it. That we stand in Christ. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the difficulties are. In Christ, we have a solid rock to stand on. Now, that doesn't mean we're arrogant. That doesn't mean we're proud of that. It means we're humble and we trust Him. We receive from Him the power and the strength we need to live in Him. Go on to the next one, if you would. Nothing gets better until we change. I found this quote this week, and I really like it. Change is painful. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Growth is painful.
Amen.
There, thank you. You learned the rhythm. But nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong.
Amen. Boy, amen.
All right. All right. You found that one, didn't you, Linda? You got there. All right. Nothing gets better until we change. And I talk to people all the time. They say, but you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand my setting. You don't understand who I'm married to. You don't understand my job. You don't understand the relationships. You don't understand how they disappoint me. You don't understand what all they've done wrong. And I say, guess what? The only person we can change is you. Because the other one didn't come to the counseling session. The other one isn't in the conversation. Number one. Number two, you're not going to be able to change others. Now, you don't have to be married long to realize you don't change your wife, your spouse, okay? But let's just be honest about it. And they don't change you very much. You learn to get along. You learn to live together. Yes. Is that right, huh? Am I doing any better after? This is our, say it out loud, 40th year.
Woo-hoo!
Are you cheering because you're surprised she made it that long? Or are you cheering because you thank me? Yeah, it's not easy. It's not roses. It's not all fun and games, as they used to say. It's a challenge. It's a struggle. But in the struggle, you knit your hearts together. You come into faith. You come into grace. You come into Christ and trust in Him. And you grow, because that's what He calls us to. So they are, give me the next one, because my machine is just totally not moving. There we go, I got it to move again. Bear fruit. The second thing Jesus tells us here in this passage is bear fruit. Have results. In other words, if you say you're in Christ, but no one can tell it, something's wrong. there should be some fruit, some evidence in your life of the fact you've been with Jesus, of the fact you walk with Jesus. Well, what are those evidences? And you've heard me say them before. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's the next one there, Miles. And so we have a calling on our lives to be this way, to be loving. How long has it been since you've really been loving? I know many don't live in a marriage situation. Maybe you live alone. Maybe you are in a blended situation, a lot of different setups. I understand that. But God is not asking you what's your situation. God is saying, how loving are you? Do you express love? I put it this way last night in my preaching. I was saying that we are to put into our children iron and honey. Iron is the discipline and the courage and the strength of character they need for life. And we need to do that. But it seems to me some parents, that's all they do. And they never get to the honey. The honey part is this love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness. These are wonderful things. These are great qualities. Our son-in-law was raised in a home where his mother literally gave schooling to all her children through the 12th grade. It was homeschooling, and she did it. But what they would do in the evening was play table games. And in the table games, there's all this love and this laughter and this joy that takes place. And you see, that's what you're looking for, these fruits of the Spirit. Not just the iron we want to put in their character and develop them, but the joy of the Lord and the presence of God, the Spirit of God in them, of love and peace and kindness and goodness. Are you planting seeds of goodness? Are you being loving? Is there a sensitivity to you that responds to those in your family with the love they need at the level they're at? You know, that little guy I mentioned that's out there in Seattle that we're going to get to go see, he needs a lot of just attention right now. And he's giving nothing back except some smiles so far. But you know, those smiles are worth $1 million. Yeah. And we're just, that's right, it is joy. And so what I'm saying is, you go a long time sometimes without getting anything back. I understand. But look at that word in there, patience. Patience. Keep sowing good seeds. Keep planting good attitudes. Keep living good, honest, caring, loving life. And the fruit will come in its due season if we faint not, the scripture says. Go to the next slide, if you would mind. So God can help you up out of the pit. We get into pits, don't we? You know, when I was in high school and college, that was a famous phrase. How's life? Oh, it's the pits. You know, meaning we're down in a hole we can't get out of. It's a pit. But God puts us on a solid rock. That's from the Psalms, in case you wondered, you didn't think it was just the hymn writer's words. It's Jesus. It's in the Bible that he puts us on a solid rock. He gives us a sure footing to stand on in life. He gets us out of the pit, and he can guide you beyond the past damage. We talked this morning a little bit in the video and in supporting the crisis care center that's available. We've talked about abortion. We've touched on divorce. We've touched on people who don't have children that want children. All of these are realities. Mm-hmm. We know that. Mm-hmm. All of these things happen in life. But however bad the past, God can heal the present.
Amen.
And in healing, give you a fresh start. You're not the mistake you were. You're not the in the pit person you might have been. You stand on a solid rock in Christ. You have a new future, a new hope where you're headed. And he gives you that fresh start. He gives you that new initiative by his Spirit. He can guide you beyond all the damage of your past. You don't have to live with the sting, the stigma, the disappointment, the shadow of what happened. You can step out of it into the light of his clear love and walk in boldness, because you are a victor, not a victim.
All right, all right.
Thank God for that. We are victors in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, Paul says. There's a guy who faced a lot of struggles, not only in himself physically, but in all the attacks that he suffered, in all the ways he was maligned and persecuted. And he said he had victory. We can have victory in our lives. Let's go on to the next one. So, number three, Jesus here tells us to obey him. Obeying him keeps us in his love. Now, here's the hard part. And it's really hard, I think, harder for men maybe sometimes than women, but the hard part is admitting when we're wrong. The hard part is asking forgiveness. The hard part is recognizing our failure and asking the loved one to forgive us for failing. Asking the loved one to give us another chance to do what is right. It's really hard. It's hard because we don't want to admit we're wrong. It's hard because we don't want to be embarrassed. It's hard because we hope they'll just ignore our failures and we can live around them and live behind, beyond them and not have to deal with them. But the truth is, Scripture is clear, we must go to the one we've offended and ask forgiveness. And the one we offend the most is usually the one we're closest to. And that makes it tough, I understand that. But it's back to what I said earlier about putting the big boy pants on and just owning up to being adults and saying, the mess I'm in, I made. I got myself here. God and I can get out. Amen.
Amen.
You can make of your life what it ought to be and what God wants it to be and what he's promised it will be if you will follow him. Go to the next one, please, Miles. Thanks. God can pour out the blessings in astonishing ways, so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. That's Peterson's paraphrase of 2 Corinthians 9:8. The other version that I know in the New International Version is that God is able to make all grace abound unto you, so that at all times, in all things, you will have all that you need. Isn't that a great, great abounding word? I just see a trampoline in my mind, and he's abounding. Bound, 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 bound. God can pour out the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to what needs to be done. In other words, not just getting by, abounding, not just suffering through, but rising on top, not just dealing with it and being down in the pit with it, but climbing out into the sunshine of his grace, his goodness. Now, I know some of this has to do with emotional outlook or personality or chemical body chemistry and psychology and psychiatry. I understand some of that. But all of us can walk in the light of Christ's goodness because he offers to us his Son as our Savior and his Spirit to guide us. And so together it can happen in our homes. It can happen in our relationships. It can happen in our marriages. When we start to take responsibility for ourselves, to remain in Christ, to abide in Christ, and to bear fruit in Christ. Miles, take me to the next one, if you would, bud. Help me out here. I've already said that. I won't drive it home too hard. Let's go to the next one. Bless your family. Speak words of blessing to your family. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know how bad they are. You don't know what they've done. That's okay. Just bless them. God bless you. God be with you. I don't understand your decisions. I don't agree with your decisions. I don't like your decisions. I don't think God likes your decisions. I just want to bless you. You don't say all that first step. You understand it, right? You just leave that in the background. You say, I want to bless you. I love you. You know, when you take that son that's broken your heart and you put your arms around and say, I love you, I bless you. When you just make that phone call, or when you just touch in a card, or just in a way of expression, you don't have to refight all the battles. You don't have to argue all the arguments. You just say, God bless you. I want God to bless our family. I want God to bless our home. I want God to bless our church. Maybe there's a conflict with someone in the church. That happens from time to time. You just have to learn to say, God bless him. I was in a conversation this week with our district superintendent. We had the privilege of being with him for a couple of hours, and it was just delightful. And, you know, some of the things came up of the history of the past, not here on this district, but other places that we've known. And it was just wonderful to say, it's all healed, it's all forgiven, it's all over. I don't walk under the shadow of that anymore. And I want that for you. God wants that for your family. And number three, Jesus tells us here, joy will be the result. Look at verse 11. I have told you this so that you will have the same joy I have. I also want your joy to be complete. Do you have complete joy? Do you have complete joy? You can forgive. You'll never forget some things, I understand. But you can so forgive by the power of God's grace that the stigma, the pain, the shadow is no longer on you. You walk in a new light. You walk in a new freedom. You walk in a confident love of the Father who loves you. I no longer call you servants, he says. I call you, I just love that word, friends. Amen. Friends. My friends. I know a guy who could never remember anybody's name, so every time he'd see you, he'd say, how are you, friend? Oh, it's so good to see you, friend. And that was just his way around. But you knew his heart was sincere, even though his memory was bad. Jesus says, I've called you friends. Isn't that rich?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we want? In our home, we want to know we have a friend who never leaves us or forsakes us, who is with us, and who loves us with all his heart. Do we love him that way? Do we serve in that way? Do we build homes that look like that? We can. We can start today. We can begin today to clean out the underbrush of sin and resentment and the darkness and shadow of hurt and heartbreak. We can begin to let the light of Jesus shine in a new day, in a new way. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you today so much for every woman in the hearing of this message, online and in person. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the way in which women just seem to be a much better example of caring and love than us men. I thank you for women who give their lives. They lay down their energies, their time, their money, their interests in order to serve their families. I pray that in their hearts there would be a reward bigger than Mother's Day, bigger than gifts or meals, but a reward that gives them a sense of joy in Christ. Father, I also pray that there might be some conversations started because of what I've said today. Conversations that would lead to healing. Conversations that would lead to understanding. Conversations that would lead to forgiveness and hopefulness. And lives that are difficult and homes that are challenged. Lord, you're greater than all of our need and all of our sin. And in Christ, you come to heal. You come to restore, to bear fruit through us. Father, I'm reminded that sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. We've had hopes and aspirations, and we've let ourselves down. And so teach us to forgive ourselves, to love others as we love ourselves. Teach us to hold our lives in grace and to put in grace that which is wrong or out of place from the past and just trust you with it as we move forward. Thank you for the celebrations of this day. And I just pray that for every mother there would be just a real moment or two of genuine appreciation and love and respect. Thank you, Lord, for watching over our lives, for knowing us so intimately well. Thank you for the fruit that is born in the lives of our children and in the lives of others in the church as we serve and love and give. Thank you for each family, each person. I pray your blessing on them today. Encourage them today. May they know Christ as the solid rock today. We'll give you the praise and the honor for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's close together and worship, all right?
Stand with us, would you?
Thank you.
let's watch this video as we close out as our appreciation of mothers. Turn us the video.
Moms of children who are still at home, we're all grown up. Moms who've outlived a son or daughter. Or moms of babies they never got to hold. Moms who've raised kids all on their own, or became a mom to someone who needed one. Moms of children who have wandered from God, or the longing to be moms who are still waiting. God perfectly arranged each of you to the role you have today. His word recognizes you as capable, strong, and praiseworthy. Everything you do makes our lives more beautiful. Happy Mother's Day.
Let me pray for you. Father, bless each home and each heart. May we know the favor of your Spirit shining in our hearts and lives. May we walk in obedience to you this week. Help us to change the atmosphere where we live, where we work, where we play, to reflect more your love and your grace and your hope, because you can do all things through us by your power that is at work. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his throne with great joy, to that great shepherd of the sheep, be power, dominion, and authority, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you as you celebrate Mother's Day.
And don't forget, all you guys now, it says in the Bible, here.